If you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We accidentally left last week's text in the bulletin this week, and I'm sure some of you thought, didn't Jared preach on this? Preacher must have thought he needed to finish up what Jared didn't finish last week. So that's not the case at all. In fact, I'm so grateful for Jared and the great job I know that he did preaching last week. I've heard nothing but positive compliments and good things about the faithfulness that Jared had in the pulpit last week. So Jared, thank you so much for serving my stead last week here in the pulpit and rightly dividing the word of truth to God's people. I'm really thankful for you and thankful for you doing that. Well, what a joyful morning it is today at First Baptist Church. What a great day it is to come together to have a baby dedication, to see all these children gathered here on the stage, for us to get to pray for them and to pray for the parents who are showing a visible commitment that they have to raising their children in a Christian home. What a joyful, 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 joyful day it is to be a part of such wonderful and awesome things. As we conclude our series entitled How Firm a Foundation, Knowing, Loving, and Living the Bible, I found it fitting on a day like today when we gather together, when we pray for children, when we see the new children that God has added to those in our congregation, what a fitting day it is for us to then turn our attention to the Word-centered home. We've talked about how important the Bible is. We've talked about how important it is to apply the Bible in different areas, but today I want to talk about applying the Bible to your home, the Word-centered home. And so this is a challenge not just to myself and my wife, who you can tell are going to need some help parenting over the years, and not just to the other parents who have been gathered on the stage today, but to every person in the room to be reminded of what the Scripture teaches about how a Christian home should be ordered. If you have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, if you would go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you, beginning in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let's pray together. Lord, would you open our hearts and minds to receive your word and be changed by it? Oh God, would you continue to raise up and to mold Christian parents who are willing to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to point them toward Christ and to order their home in the way that you see fit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things I do sometimes when I exercise is listen to podcasts. And if you don't know what podcast is, it's kind of like radio, but it's on my phone. And so I listen to several different podcasts. The other day, I listened to a really fascinating podcast on parenting. A bunch of economists were discussing how the things that seem so important to parents actually wind up affecting the children much less than you would think. So then, what they said was, all the trips to the museums and all the attempts to cram culture and all the attempts to try to get your child ahead in the world and all these kinds of things wound up, if you look at the statistics, affecting the children a lot less than you would think. What the studies discovered mattered most for the outcome of children was something that you probably know already. Children found it most important that they know that they were loved, that they knew that they were accepted and loved by their parents. In the end, that wound up affecting the children and their upbringing more than anything else. Parents can do and should do for their kids, and they can do and do and do and do and do for their kids, but until they show their love in tangible ways at home, the kids are largely unaffected. That's kind of the results of the studies and kind of what they saw and the way they studied different parents. But you'll know what I'm getting at on another level, and this is something we know naturally. Your kids know if you're genuine or not. Your kids can sense whether or not you mean how you're acting toward them. Your kids know if you love them or not. And I want you to know something today. You will pass nothing down to your children And some of your grandparents in the room, some of your great-grandparents in the room, you will pass nothing down to your grandchildren and great-grandchildren that is more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will pass nothing down to your children, to your grandchildren, or to your great-grandchildren that is more important than the gospel of Christ. And parents, I want you to know something today. Nothing will make the gospel real to your children like the way you live it out at home. Nothing will make the gospel real to your children like the way you live it out at home. I'm sure we've all heard countless stories of parents who over their whole life said they believed the Bible and wound up driving their children away from the faith because they never lived according to it. The Bible is something you should live according to, but not me. This morning, I want to show three directives to Christian families for fostering a Bible-centered home. For fostering a home that is centered on the Word of God. I want to give three points this morning to help Christian families embrace God's design for your home. The first is this, and I want to make it quite clear. I'm a little out of order here, so bear with me, but all these things are in the text. But I want to talk about children first. So the first point this morning is this: children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. Now, some of you might find it ironic that my little girl decided to do a little ballet show down here on the steps, and here I am talking about the importance of children being obedient. Obviously, she's not quite two yet. She's not really good with understanding all these kinds of things. She doesn't know much about what church is yet. But we find it important all the time recognizing we must teach our little girl to obey. We must teach her to obey. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what the scripture says, verse 20 of chapter 3. Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. Now, I'm confident that lazy parenting is something that's not new at all. Now, I want to just confess to you right now, that's one of the great struggles I have very often in my life, is a lot of times I want to say, she's too. It'll be okay. Just let her act however she wants. I want to sit here and finish drinking this Diet Coke right now. And as long as she's not tearing anything up, I want to let her have her act how she wants. We struggle this all the time. It is really difficult to consistently discipline our little girl, to consistently help her see what obedience looks like. It's a constant struggle for us. It's so much easier to appease her, to give in, to ignore bad behavior that we know that she knows is wrong. Now, we don't always get on to her. We try to be very age appropriate with the ways that we discipline her. But we have to recognize as parents that it's our job to help teach our children to obey. It's our job to help teach our children to obey. We have been entrusted with a child by God, and the scripture teaches that obedient children please the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that only children who obey get saved or that God is only pleased with people who are obedient as children. I certainly hope that's not the case because I think my mom and dad are down here on the front row and they can attest to you that I was not always an obedient child. Most of the time I was an obedient child, but not all the time was I an obedient child. Not all the time did I do what was pleasing to the Lord when I was a child. But as parents, we must be at a place in our lives where we recognize that bringing our children up in a way that we try our best to teach them to obey is to move them in a way that centers our home and roots our home in practices that please the Lord. What does it mean that obedient children please the Lord? It means in the sense that a Christian household that is orderly, that is a word-centered home, is pleasing to the Lord. God is glorified when the Bible is governing our homes. Now, I don't know of a parent I've ever met in my life who said, you know what, I don't really care if my child obeys me or not. I've never met them, and I'd be interested to meet one who says that. I'm not really interested in having obedient children, but there are lots of reasons and lots of ways that we look for to determine why it is that we want our children to obey. It's easy for us to have all kinds of reasons we want our children to obey. It's easier on us when they obey, right? It's easier on us. If you would just do what I say, this would be a lot easier on both of us. It's embarrassing for us when our kids don't obey. I know many of you have had that feeling when you're in a restaurant. I tell my wife all the time, we're the parents we used to judge. We are the parents that we used to judge. And so we sit in a restaurant. My little girl decides to start doing gymnastics on her high chair. And I feel my cheeks start to get flush, and I feel embarrassed. I want her to obey because I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be the parents I used to judge. I want to be the kind of parents that people look and say, look how well-behaved that child is. Wow. Those people need to write a book. But that's not how it goes, right? People don't always feel that way when they look at our lives. It's embarrassing for us when our children don't behave. We want to impress those. This is kind of the flip side of that. We want to impress people around us with our well-behaved children. It makes you feel good when people say, come up to you and say, your child is so well-behaved. I've never seen a child behave quite like that. We want them to be prepared. This is another reason we might want our children to be obedient, because we want them to be prepared to excel in kindergarten and then in grade school. Then things will probably go well in middle school, then that can only progress to high school. Next thing you know, they're in the Ivy League, and we're all retiring on their salary. You know, so we want them to obey for all these different kinds of reasons. We want to avoid the judgment of people like me before I had kids who have forgotten what it's like to have children. There are all these reasons we want our children to obey. And while not all of them are bad, I want you to know something this morning. There is one very important, most important, all-encompassing reason that we should discipline our children and move them toward obedience. And it is because it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. If you're more concerned about your sense of pride and embarrassment when your child misbehaves than you are for their own relationship with the Lord, than you are with their own ability to please God, what are you really thinking about when it comes to raising your children? If you're more concerned to have your children obey so that you can impress others, how are you actually raising your children? Parents in the room, this is the way that the Bible is challenging you today. Would you root the obedience of your children in God? Would you always point your children to the fact that obedience pleases the Lord? We must have homes which are centered on God's Word. We must have homes that are constantly evaluating practices, hearts, and attitudes in light of the gospel of Christ. How are we pointing our children to Jesus, and how are we showing our children that God is the ultimate reality, that God is the final judge, that no matter what society thinks, in the end what matters is what God thinks? If we're constantly saying things to our children like, you embarrassed me, why are you acting like that? We're Alexanders, we don't do that, or something like that. If we're always talking to our children in those sorts of ways, but never showing them the gospel side of things, never pointing them to the biblical side of things, then we are doing them a great disservice. We must always have a Word and God-centered home. Parents, there's nothing wrong with having a sense of family pride. It's one of the things we say in our house sometimes. You know, we don't do those sorts of things. That's not who we are. That's not how we behave here. But unless you're showing them the other side of why, it's not because we're just like that naturally. It's because of the grace of God in Christ that we don't behave in these ways. We are concerned primarily as a family with one thing and one thing only, and that is pleasing God. We are concerned as a church with one thing and one thing only, and that is doing things according to God's Word. Therefore, we must also, as Christian parents and in Christian homes, be concerned primarily with honoring the Lord with the great stewardship we've been given. And our children, would you check your attitude to make sure that you want your children to obey for God's glory? Now, some of you in the room are children. Let me ask you this. Are you being obedient and respectful to your parents? God expects you as a child to be respectful and obedient to your parents. So if you're a child in the room this morning, remember that you must be respectful and obedient to your parents. Now, to the grandparents, to the grandparents. I've noticed in my life, now all of my kids' grandparents are here right now, and so I don't want to say too much about this, but these are not things that they struggle with. Let me just say, I'm not using my family as a subtext for the sermon here, but I have noticed in my life that oftentimes grandparents are tempted in one of two ways. One is toward being judgmental. One is toward being judgmental over the way their children are raising their grandchildren. And the other direction, I think, that grandparents are often tempted in, the other direction grandparents are always tempted in, I think, is toward being lackadaisical and just letting the kids do whatever they want, because we're grandparents and their obedience doesn't matter that much to us. That's something for the parents to deal with. I'm sure many of you who are grandparents in the room struggle with both sides of those things. As much as parents struggle, I think grandparents struggle with these things. But I want you to know that you must always remember that God is on the horizon of your children and your grandchildren's lives. And when you're being judgmental towards your kids for the way that they're raising their children, even if they're wrong, you're not helping them see the glory of God in their homes. Instead, you're pushing them away. But if you're lackadaisical and you just say, let them do whatever they want, you're not helping them live by the Bible in that way either. As grandparents, you can be such a great help and such a great aid for parents in teaching and raising children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now listen, I understand that you want your grandkids to have a good time when they come to grandmother and grandfather's house. And I want them to have a good time when they go there. There's a reason why my kids love to see their grandparents coming, because they're loving and they have a great time with them and all those things. I'm not saying you have to be parents to them. What I'm saying is you must recognize this, that obedient children are pleasing to the Lord, and you must help them, aid them in the process of having a God-centered and a Word-centered home. Our first point this morning is this. First directive for having a Word-centered home is, children, obey your parents. And there's a challenge that comes with that. Parents, teach your children to obey. But our second point this morning is this. Wives, embrace biblical submission. Wives, embrace biblical submission. Now, I understand where the minds of many of you have already gone. I understand exactly where they've gone. I understand some of you have probably already now wanted to check out on me. And I know that there are lots of men in the room who are kind of wringing their hands, and they've been waiting on this one. Preacher, I'm being kind of ready for you to get to this. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Now, both of y'all are wrong right now, okay? So I just want you to listen to what the Bible says. Y'all don't be mad at each other. Just get mad at me. And so don't check out on what the Word of God says. And husbands, don't gloat in this, because I promise your point is coming. It's last, and you'll have less fun than the women do today. So listen to me carefully about what the Scripture says. Chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, what I'm going to say, what I'm not going to say, is that that Scripture teaches that our roles in the church and the home as men and women are identical. Even the families that do their best to make the roles identical recognize that even nature teaches that men and women are different. God created us different for His glory. But I'm also not going to say that your home has to look like Leave It to Beaver in order for you to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say that what has to happen is that the man should dominate and the woman should only do what she's told, and that we need to go back to those kinds of days, because that's not the point. The Scripture is constantly calling every culture out of what it thinks is right and toward what God says is right. And so as Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians, the culture of the day did not see wives as women who should submit to their husbands. They saw wives virtually as property who should be in constant obedience to their husbands. So Paul is not simply upholding the standards of the day. Paul's not simply saying, okay, y'all just do what you're doing. That's oftentimes the Bible's accused of simply being rooted in its culture that it was in, and it's not really applicable to us today. Well, just throw that idea out, because what Paul is saying is a revolution in Roman culture of the day. Roman wives were not expected to willingly submit. They were expected to obey. Roman husbands were able to treat their wives almost like property. Paul isn't encouraging the women in this passage to merely accept the culture they live in, but instead through their behavior to embrace the good design of God in making the sexes, making the genders complementary. Wives and moms who are present here today, and even grandmothers who are present here today, you will demonstrate and model what biblical femininity is to your children, to your sons and your daughters. That means you must then carry that responsibility and recognize that you must behave and live as one who is behaving as is fitting in the Lord. And that means a full embrace of your identity in Christ. And it also means submitting to the leadership of your husband. This is not a blind obedience. This is not a behavior that makes you worth less than a man. This is a behavior that recognizes the worth you have in Christ as a woman who has been created in the image of God, that recognizes the unique role that no one else can have as wife and mother in your home, and embracing that role as God gave it so that we might demonstrate the gospel not only to our children but to those around us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 teaches very plainly that the model of the Christian home, of husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands, is a very clear picture of Christ and His church. And so wives, when you embrace the gospel of Christ, wives, when you embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, when you submit to your husband in the way that the Bible teaches very clearly, you are not merely simply saying, I am not necessarily a child of God, but you are showing that you are very clearly a child of God. Hold on just one moment. Let's take a moment right now just to pray right now. Let's pray right now. Lord, we pray right now that you would, in any situation that may be going on right now, Father, that you would intervene. Father, I pray, God, that those who are helping right now, God, would have wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you would, God, we pray that you would have your will done. And Lord, that you would very clearly work in this situation right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim and Kim. And we're going to continue here. Our temptation is going to constantly be toward aping the culture around us. But we must have a robust approach to what the Bible teaches us on gender. Gender has become a very liquid concept in our culture. It's become something that people feel like they can just sort of say what they are when they want to. They can behave however they want, that our gender roles are sort of options for us. But we've got to recognize in our lives as Christians that we must stand strong on the Word of God. We must be willing to wholeheartedly embrace the Bible's comprehensive teaching on sex if we are to clearly demonstrate the gospel with our lives. Children, you must obey your parents. Wives, you must submit to your husbands. But now, brothers in the room, men in the room, I want you to hear what the Spirit says to you. Men in the room, I want you to hear what the Spirit has to say to you. Husbands, this is our last point this morning. Husbands, lead your family with Christ-like leadership. Husbands, lead your family with Christ-like leadership. Notice what the Scripture says. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Men, you must be careful with your gifts. God has gifted you in very specific ways. God has gifted you in very certain ways, and God has made you a man for a reason. God made men strong. God made men aggressive. He made men masculine. And what a good gift masculinity is to the world. And yet how often it is used in sinful ways. So often masculinity is used in sinful ways. Do you see, men, how the Spirit is warning you this morning? The Spirit is warning you in very profound ways today. You must be careful with your gifts and recognize how you'll be tempted. You will be tempted as you love your wife and as you lead your family and as you lead your children toward obedience. You will be tempted to be harsh. You will be tempted to be provocative. You will be tempted to provoke your children and to be harsh with your wife, because God made you to be harsh in protection. God made you with wide shoulders so that you can carry loads. God made you as a man to be a man, but those gifts that God gave you in masculinity should never, ever, ever, ever be used against those whom God has called you to lead. You'll be tempted to achieve God's good design in ways that are sinful. You want your wife to submit, but she won't. And so you get angry, you rage, you use your masculinity against her as a weapon to achieve what you want. Or you become like Moses, who tried to achieve God's plan of the Exodus by murdering the Egyptian. You lead like Satan would have you lead, in a way that abandons Christ-like leadership and wars against those who bear Christ's image. But how did Jesus lead? Did Jesus intimidate? Did Jesus scream in rage? No, He didn't. And as men, we must come to a place where we are willing to embrace the leadership of Christ in every aspect of our lives. This morning, I want to offer an invitation. As we look toward making sure that we have Christ-centered homes, Word-centered homes, I want to invite you, if you are not a believer this morning, to come and pray with me. If you are a believer this morning and you've not been living according to God's good design like you should, I'd love for you to come pray with me this morning. And finally, if you're looking for a church home, I'd love for you this morning to come talk to me about what it might mean for you to be a member of First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we pray right now, Father, we pray right now that You would give us the opportunity today to let Your glory shine to those around us. God, in our families, in our homes, in every way that we find possible, God, we pray that You would be with us, that You would guide us. Lord, I pray for these families who have come and dedicated their children. God, I pray that You would bless their homes, bless their lives. Guide them so that they might come and raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord.